Good morning. Is that volume about right, little father? About there? Okay. Well, this morning we're going to have a little mix and match. I never did give a presentation of the report of the Philippines, but we're going to put a little bit of a theme to it this morning. So we'll have some slides, but we will also have, I think, a good lesson and some verses to consider. Did I need to start the recorder, or is it on? Good. When we're over there, or sometimes just when I'm at the house, I really think, do I really want to get out of bed in the morning? And I think that all of us, especially perhaps more of the men than the women, we want to focus in on a purpose, a direction, when we plan out our day. And sometimes if that isn't crystal clear, I think our motivation to get going in the morning is not as good as perhaps it could be. Well, Brother Edward and I have asked ourselves several times, why do we go to the Philippines, Mexico, or why does some go to the Africa, and is it really needed, is it worth the expense, and et cetera. Well, that's what we're going to discuss a little bit this morning. But you know, whether it's in a foreign land or whether it's a next-door neighbor, perhaps it's a ministry into our children, our families, our older ones, whoever it may be, that we all have a calling. And I think, hopefully, if we are spiritually minded in seeking to do what God has asked us to do, that we have a spiritual calling as well that would help motivate our physical bodies. We gave this lesson last week in Durango, so I didn't change the date there. But I thought it would be good also to present the congregation here because the Albuquerque brothers have been very generous over the years, and here especially the last 2 or 3 years, in helping us with the work in many of these different places. A couple of verses we're going to consider is, what are your gifts? Romans 12 and 4 through 8, for we as many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And that's true of our, let's say, wherever we work, or different societies or groups, that we have what we call specialization to labor. We have things that we do a little bit better than the other person, and vice versa. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one in one body in Christ, and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is giving us. We talked about grace quite a bit up in the camp in Durango. Grace comes in a normal, numerous packages. Of course, salvation and the gift of God's Son, His willingness to submit to His Heavenly Father and to die upon the cross, that is a tremendous part of grace. But God gives us grace in other handfuls, if you will. And this is talking about our gifts. What are our gifts? That's our talents, our skills, if you will, that we use daily. And it says that this is differing, or our gifts are different according to the grace, the gift that God has given us. And then it says, let us use them. You know, I guess I got it from my mom, and she got it from her dad, and my father also, that during the Depression, there wasn't such word as lazy. You basically made do or got out and worked, especially if you're on a farm, or you just didn't make it. Well, today's society is a little bit different, but I think it's important to dwell within our kids, within our family, our children, that God wants us to be busy doing His will in our own lives, helping and ministering to others, and we're going to talk about that a little more this morning. But especially if He has given us a gift of teaching, that we need to use it. A gift of giving, we need to use it. A gift of encouraging, we need to use it. It says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. So there's some reasonable bounds here. Some of us might be better speakers than others. Some of us might be have more ability to give than others. Verse 7, ministry, let us use it into our ministry. And we're going to use the definition here of serving others, of helping, to be there, to empathize, to cry with others, to laugh with others. He with teaching, let him teach. Verse 8, he exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who lends with diligence, leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there are things and strengths, talents, character traits that we all are stronger than perhaps others and vice versa. This is just a sample. Boy, I hope my voice holds out. A sample picture here that we spend, I would say, the majority of our time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I do have water. Yeah, I put it under here. I came prepared. Had a little frog in my throat and trying to get over this bronchitis. And this is Chris and Premi. They're perhaps one of our most promising and long longevity-wise evangelists that have been with us, and they're very active. They have good health. They have excellent teaching. He has excellent teaching skills. She was a school teacher, so she's talented, and she has the gifts, and she's willing to share it. And they're wonderful people. This is one of the places we stay. It's actually one of the nicer places. I won't be too bashful. I'll just keep this close. It's called Papagayos. It's a Mexican place. And we kind of like it because we can get none rice meals. We get Mexican meals there. We can get American eggs and bacon. So anyway, you can see the flowers. Very beautiful there. Why did God call me? Have you ever asked that? I can't do anything great. I think we need to know, we need to first realize ourselves, then we need to let our children know God's got a purpose for each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 26th verse, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So many times we kind of take the, I'm really not talented, I don't have anything to offer, and I don't want to get involved with it. It's just a local group. Perhaps it's a study group. Perhaps it's across the ocean. Perhaps it's a ministry to our next door neighbor. God calls us where we are. And he gives us what we need to do, to perform and to be of service. 27th verse, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." God's got a sense of humor. You know, the Jews were looking for a great and glorious return of the kingdom when Jesus came, a physical king. But that's not what God had in mind, and that's true today. It's the little things we can help on. Perhaps we'll never go across the ocean. Perhaps we're not an eloquent speaker and a preacher, and we go to many congregations, perhaps like Sam Dick. God also can use us in the small things. Verse 28, "And the base things of this world, the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence." Perhaps it's a way to keep ourselves humble by taking these small bites of talents and our calling and a service, a ministry, a teaching, and offer them to God as a sacrifice. Romans 12:1, one of our favorite verses there, that we yield ourselves to God, our whole life, our body, as a living sacrifice, a reasonable service. Well, this is just a little overview of the GPS on the trip over. Never quite figured it out until I saw it on the GPS. Dallas is on the far right. You can barely read it over here. And what they do, they take off, get you up to 35,000 feet, and fly for 16 hours and 40 minutes, the longest flight I've ever had. But during that time, the Earth rotates. So even though the line looks like it's straight, that all this time you're in the air, the Earth rotates. We were up north of Alaska, close to the Arctic Circle, as you can see the snow there. And then we came back down through Russia, over Siberia, saw the snow-covered mountains. And the trip over there is a little bit of a sacrifice just to get there. It takes about a total of 24 hours, time you leave your house to the time you actually land in Manila. This is just one of the groups. God takes the base, simple, humble people of the world. The first one on the left, he's a taxi driver. That's Brother Godey. Brother Harry, many years ago, has installed what they call the Bible and a commentary library there at his congregation. They've got about five racks of Strong's and Nelson's and Knaves and different commentaries and different versions of the Bible and lexicons. Next one, he spends a lot of his time helping other people. He is more of a full-time evangelist. We do not really support him, but we have helped him with his vehicle some. He's quite a hustler, and I appreciate his wife's next to him. The next fellow there in the pink, he's a school teacher. He's been teaching for many years. His wife's a teacher. They basically have given a third of their salaries to just help there locally and to take care of the needs to get their building up. It was damaged with a flood 3 or 4 years ago. The next fellow there is a student. It's the one that Brother Ed has been helping. He has got his school job, but unfortunately, since he's low on the ranks, they gave him the job that's way up in the mountains with the natives, and it's a little bit of sacrifice to get there. Brother Edward, and then the next one is a student that just graduated. He went to the Sunset International Bible Institute, but over there it's basically college, seminary, theological subjects. And he is the son of Brother Rudy Gonzalez. This is Rexon, is his name. We'll see him a little more. And Anita and I. This is another group, and we'll go through and explain to all of them. Some of them are plumbers, housewives, various occupations there. This is another group. And the same thing. These brothers, there's nothing high and mighty about them. They're not proudful. They just want to serve. And they do spend a lot of their time home studies. They actually have studies in the schools on Fridays there in study hall. The school permits that. Brother Emmanuel, he's the one in the darker blue shirt in the middle. He actually has a study with the teachers in the teacher's lounge once a week. They're very active, very enthusiastic. I wanted to show you this slide. This is at a congregation named Kalakpalin. It's right there at Subic Bay, just outside of what was a naval base. Many speak English in this area, or some English, probably be more accurate. This congregation, and this is one of the biggest building and the nicest, to be honest, we inherited from the Sunday school group. And it was actually, they started building it in the late 60s, so it's been a long time in coming about. But the five in front are young men from about 15 to 25, and they're very active. They encourage each other. They have singing school once a week. They have some Bible studies once a week, and they have a ministering day. They go out and help the widows in the congregation. If you can see it on the left, three rows back is one of the widows, and it's been very commendable service. We are very encouraged by some of these congregations because they practice what they have been preaching and what we're talking about this morning. Well, one way we can help each other, serve each other, and one calling we can have is being an encourager. There are many things in our lives that are discouraging, and there are many things in Philippines, Mexico, Africa that could be discouraged. And if you're not walking a spiritual walk and seeing beyond the immediate lack of food or crops or other problems, well, then you will be discouraged. Or in our society, we have, you know, we may not have the latest Xbox or whatever, and we're kind of thinking we're deprived. But to be honest, that each society, each culture has a downside. It has areas that we become discouraged in, whether it's finances or whatever. Well, encouragement is for you, it's for me. It's perhaps one of the greatest gifts that we can offer to others. And we're going to talk about hope and other things too. Hebrews 3 and 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That's always a possibility. We hope it's very slim. in this congregation and many others that seek to serve God. 13th verse, it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called a day. In other words, let's do it now. Let's not be a procrastinator. Let's not put it off. As we leave the building today, we can give someone a firm handshake and we can say, may the Lord bless you in your week or in the physical, medical struggle you have or whatever the situation, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, as long as we have the proper relationship and understanding with God through His Son Jesus and sharing in Jesus' righteousness, it doesn't get any better than that. That's just wonderful. Amen. But the deceitfulness of sin can creep into the most stable, the most well-meaning Christian, saying, well, you know, if you had this, or if you could be a better speaker, or if you had a little more money to give, and then Satan's lies just start coming tumbling in. 14th verse. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, when we first became a Christian, or let's say we're on a high as a Christian, and we've been reading our Bible, we've been praying and meditating, we need to hold this course, this confidence. Well, this is some of the confidence and holding the course that we're faced in the Philippines, and I'm sure Mexico and Africa. Some of these churches, these groups, these congregations are not too convenient. This one, you park the car, you walk the footbridge, it does sway, it bounces, and then you go across the farm fields, you say hi to the cows and the goats. This is a rice field here. This particular congregation is a different one that's way up in the mountains, and there's no real path. They basically have just carved dirt steps out of the dirt. They water it, they pack it. When the rain comes, it dissolves, and then they do it again. And so some of these things in life we do, whether it's here at home, daily, wherever it is, it has challenges. How about in the church, Acts 20 and 1? After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, departed to go to Macedonia. When he had gone over that region, Macedonia wasn't that friendly to the apostles. They had a lot of pagan religions there, and Paul encouraged them with many words. Then he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. So this is Brother Edward. Now you will notice in these pictures, there's a large variety of congregation in their physical buildings. This one is pretty typical. If you're not in the city, you're probably in bamboo and thatch type buildings. And when they ask for help on these buildings because of the winds, the typhoon or whatever, we're talking minimal. We help one group build a building similar to this. We haven't been to it. It just happened in this last trip. And I think the total cost was about $1,000 for a little bit of sheet iron, some thatch, some bamboo, some poles. And Brother Edwards here, you'll notice their benches are very simple. This is another group. We've helped them over the years. Brother Harry and Bill did. They have actually a little bit of a concrete floor, some first 4 feet is concrete, and that's preferred because the termites don't seem to crawl up the concrete. They start the wood, but again, they just use bamboo scabs to make their little thatch for the roofs, or for the sides. And this one they decorated with some sheets up front there to kind of keep the sunlight out of your eyes. Romans 15 and 1, it says, to build each other up. We then, who are strong, ought to bear the scruples or the weakness of the weak, and not to please ourselves. You know, that's a verse that I think I need to have well bedded into my heart, because many times we don't understand our calling, why we get up in the morning. You know, there's probably always an opportunity each day, unless we're just sitting in inside the house and doing nothing, that we have a chance to encourage people. Brother Larry has a wonderful operation, took a tour of it yesterday, and he has people working there, and he can either be negative and discouraging and critical, or he can be encouraging. People we come into contact every day, we have opportunities to encourage. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, not our good, for his good, and let it lead towards edification. Edification is a betterment of knowledge, and hopefully it would be of spiritual knowledge. Another church here, just plain folks, this is a rural area. We went to a total of 28 churches, but about 8 or 9 of those we'd never been to before. These are agricultural workers. The ones here on the left are some of the evangelists. But the ones on the right pretty much are the locals. I don't know if you can see the little boy in the green t-shirt. He's kind of faint here. We got to noticing, and we noticed a little more, and they just put a big t-shirt over their toddlers. There are no diapers, cloth, paper. I mean, that's a luxury. They're just worrying about food each day, and their life is simple. Most of their clothes over there, by the way, are secondhand. Very few are first bought from stores. They're hand-me-downs from brother, sister, other families, or whatever. This is a little home church. That's where we're going across the bridge down the agricultural field. And it's just how you use the basic, whatever you do today, let your light shine, whatever word or deed, do it unto the glory of the Lord. This is a new ministry. This is Brother Ed. We got this idea actually from the several places, but in Mexico, Brother Ed was finding there are some of the older ones that don't read. Never really hit us. But when they read scriptures, they can converse verbally, but they don't read, and therefore not being able to read the Bible or have to wait for someone else to read it to them, their spiritual knowledge has kind of a ceiling on it. In the remote areas, the depth of spiritual understanding is very limited. So he bought some $10 MP3s. He found a place to download the Bible in 3 different of the dialects, which helped. There's actually 17 there. We only deal with about 4 or 5. And he was handing out with little speakers where the older ones in remote churches could listen to the Bible. And it's worked. We've got good reports of it. This is Anita. You know, the ministry of the women to the women should never be underrated or understood. Or, that's the wrong word. Never underestimated. Yeah, we'll stick with that word. That they were thrilled to see a Christian woman there from the United States. There's just a camaraderie, I think, that women have. They socialize at a little different level. And so this is some of them in one of the mountain churches here. It says, we can all minister and serve in many ways. Whether we're just raising our children, our family. Perhaps we got toddlers. Perhaps we got young ones, teenagers, whatever. That the ministry and serving to our Father is serving to the family is perhaps our calling for that period in our life. You know, it's good to teach them respect for authority, to obey their parents, because later on, as they grow up and become independent, move away from home, there are other authorities that God had put in place, the governing authorities, the police, to exhibit love for spiritual activities, the Bible studies. That's imprinted at early age. That's a ministry that's wonderfully endowed to parents, and we need to meet that responsibility. Modeling the parents' behavior. Children don't miss much. I was very surprised one day. Savannah was over helping me a little bit, and I didn't have the right tool, and I thought, boy, I sure wish I could find that tool or I could go buy it. And Savannah and all her wisdom there says, Grandpa, just go rent it. Save some money, you know. So our children are constantly watching us, and what we say or what we don't say or what we react when we hit our thumb with a hammer, it imprints. It's there perhaps even for life. I can remember some situations with my grandpa Cogburn and my dad that are still in my memory of how they reacted to certain situations. The loving relationship with the father and mother That is a tremendous calling, and it takes sometimes every bit of the grace of patience that God has given us to get us through those times, because it can be a trying day. Learning to accept responsibility for the chores and the behaviors. That's a gift you can give your child by imprinting on them and exhibiting in your life. Unfortunately, and I'm sure you've run across it, I did in construction more and more. It's one reason I kind of decided it was time for me to retire. There are many people that are not taught how to work. I had a temporary helper come on the job once in Laredo, Texas, and they're instructed to wear hard leather toes. They had tennis shoes on, had to send him home. He came back, got to have a hard hat. He went, got a hard hat, came back. And then I said, okay, here's the broom. I need you to sweep out the last 50 rooms on the right side. And he looked at me and said, I have a GED. I don't do that type of work. I thought, okay. And since then, I've had guys, they'd be helping outside with shovels, clean up, do a little landscaping. And I've had them actually throw shovels at me and take a swing now and then. And you know, it's very, very sad, but to teach your children that they need to be responsible. Someday they will need to be on their own, or will probably be on their own, and work in helping each other and using the gifts God's given them. It's all part of that. Children, they have. I would say 50 to 60% of the people in the picture are children, probably under the age of 15. Now, this is a church in the mountains, 5 kilometers walk, no roads, just cow paths, across the pastures and across the streams and whatever, top of the mountain, and they have no power, they have no internet, they have no TV, they just have each other, and so they do multiply. But it's a wonderful church. We have helped them to expand the building. The building has become too small. And again, you'll see lots of bamboo. It does have sheet iron. This is another congregation, similar situation. It's a different island and different mountain that it's on. But indeed, many of them work in the fields. This church, we were given a very strict time schedule. We started our assembly at 10. Edward was to finish at 10:45. I was to start speaking. And I was to finish by 11:30. And that gave them half hour to eat. We had a common meal we usually brought in as we met many of the congregations. And then they had to go right back out at 12 o'clock and return to the agricultural fields and keep working and harvesting rice, watering, whatever they were doing. The owner of the land did give them 2 hours off for that day. Well, we can all minister. We can all serve in many ways. Psalms, the 78th chapter, the 6th verse. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders he has done. You know, they had no printed text among the common people. They had a few of the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes in the temples and such had their scrolls. But by imprinting on their children the will of God and the principles they had heard in the synagogues. It was the main way the word was passed generation to generation. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel when he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. That's a command. That's not an option. So that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, that they in turn would tell their children. It's just a perpetual situation. Yes, we have printed word, but unless we show enthusiasm about reading it and serving in that ministry to our families, that it's not going to be magically caught, the principles of the Bible and the characteristics of God and the expectations of God. It has to come from us, the parents. Well, again, Nita's exhibiting a parental, maternal type love for a lot of the babies. Lots of babies there. We had a new ministry, if you will. And Sister Mila actually gave us this idea. We started with candy, and we decided, well, that's a lot of sugar, and they've got plenty of diabetes problems with their rice and their starch. So we also brought coloring books. And in this case, we found some Bible-type coloring books, and the book in the right hand is in Tagalog. Some stories there. You know, you thought you would have given them a brand new bicycle would be the equivalent of what we might have got given to us, our children in the U.S. Just a simple book. We're finding the men work hard. They're out in the field. They're at the ice house. They're at wherever. And the women are there with their children. But even their spiritual knowledge is a little bit limited, some of them, especially in the rural areas. So we're encouraging them to read Bible stories and have Bible activities with their children, even though the man is leader of the home, that many times he gets home tired, it's dark, they don't, a lot of them don't have power, they don't have lights. So we took, Nita took on a book in pencil ministry here. There are little writing pads and pencils and storybooks. They thought they had the best gift they had all year. In fact, some of the mothers were so enthusiastic that they'd run and grab their two-month-old and bring them up like they could read and write. But it was just a gift. It was a very special moment. Here's some more children with their books and their pads and different things. Turned out to be a good ministry. This is a ministry our sister Vanessa and her mother instigated. And these are little scarves. And you know, here again, it didn't seem like much. I think we took 25, 27 of them. Nita handed them out, and it was special. It's showing people you care about them. It's just a scarf, but it's special to them. They don't have a lot of things. And like I said, a lot of their clothes are bought at used clothes types places or central markets. We're going to talk about hope now. Hope when the storms rage. Hope is a confident of an expectation, confident of a future unknown result. Joy, anticipation of a positive outcome, living life with worry and stress that can be relieved so we can live it without it. Joy, hope is spiritually based on an event. Christ died for us. The gift of God and grace of God is available to all. Act of a faith. Jesus acted in upon the faith of what the Father had told him to do. A good spiritual foundation, a good spiritual base. Hope is usually has an author, which is Jesus is that author of our salvation, and an anchor. Here in Romans 5, I think we used it at the camp. We'll just refer to parts of it. The first five verses of Romans 5 says, you've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We rejoice, what? In the hope of the glory of God. God, in the spiritual principles of the Bible, should give us all here today, locally, plenty of hope. We will have the hiccups of life. We will have a loss of a loved one. We will also perhaps lose a job. Different things will happen. But the principles and the promise of God is stable. It's there. It doesn't go away. It gives us hope. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Again, as we talked at the camp, that's just almost an oxymoron. That how do you rejoice in sufferings? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. When we're a little child, our parents would say, don't touch the stove, it's hot. But unfortunately, some of them are slow learners like myself, so we do that, and then we learn, oh, that is true. And we persevere through that little suffering. And doing that over the period of our raising years and our grown-up years, it produces a part of our character, who we are. And that character, if indeed it's a godly character on godly principles, produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. That is one of my favorite verses. God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That gives us hope right there. Romans 8, it says, "Who shall verse 35, 32, 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? For it's written, for your sake we face death all day long." Talking here of the apostles. "We are considered as sheep to the slaughter." You know, sometimes we may be, sometime in our lifetime, we may be actively persecuted. And we really wonder, well, you know, why do I have to go through this? Well, it's part of being a Christian. "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Verse again we had at the camp. "For I am convinced that what? Neither death nor life, the problems of life, angels or demons, all the influences that are thrown at us, neither the present or the future, or any power, or neither the height or depth," in other words, how intense, how serious it is, "nor anything else in all of creation," that just about covers it all, "will be able to separate us from the love of God." That we should find great encouragement. We should pass that to others. We should find great hope. We should live it in our life. It says, "the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, these people, this is the biggest meal. This is our common meal after our assembly there. There's about 100 there. About a third of them are children. And you'll notice they're modestly dressed. But, and they keep themselves, I think their hygiene is relatively good. But there's a big bowl of rice over here in the lower left-hand corner. That bowl is about 2.5-3 foot big. There is a 9-inch plate stuck in there. It's the little brown thing right over on that side. And that's what they're dipping that with. And each person got a little piece of fried chicken. We bought at the market, and rice. And that was the best meal they'd had. A lot of these people have a banana in the morning, banana lunch, and I'm talking the little bananas, maybe a little bit of coconut once a week, and then they'll have rice at night to fill their tummy so they can sleep. This is a picture of hope. There's 8 of us, 10 pieces of luggage, and you might can see Brother Chris. This is Chris Amihai and his wife. And he is looking at the situation. He's thinking, no hope. No way we can get 8 people in this 2-seat car and all the luggage. He was right. We didn't make it. We actually had the luggage. We had people laying on top of the luggage. And we're still short getting 2 people in. So we ended up having to do another car. As you ride all the ferries there, it's how they get from island to island. 7,000 islands, but only probably a couple hundred are inhabited, and you hope that you will have a safe landing. They usually have a ferry go down once a year, or sometimes more than that. This poor guy came a little fast into the dock, and you can see how that ferry ended up. I actually think that they put it there to keep the erosion off of the dock. This is a very hopeful and encouraging picture. On the far left, yeah, this is Rudy Gonzalez's wife, Noni. And she's quite healthy. She was younger than Rudy. Rudy died last year at 68. He was one of the mainstays of the church there at Calaclan, which is at Subic Bay. The next 4 people, that's their son, Rex, and his family. And then Rexon also is their son, which is Brother Rudy's grandson. Brother Rexon is assuming the responsibility of that church because, again, they didn't start training their young men many years ago. The ones in the blue shirt, the slide I show you, that is the ones they are training now to strengthen the church and carry it on. But Brother Rexon, with the help of another brother that travels 50 miles every Sunday and sometimes during the week to help strengthen this congregation and to get it going. This is the congregation. You can see it's pretty good size. It's 50, 60 people. This is a picture of hope. When you go to the airport, and this is the ladies' restroom, and you look in there, this is the fixtures for all functions of the body. And you have to kind of have a little hope and creative imagination how that's all supposed to work. This is what happens when they finish using their tires. They reuse them. They retire them. This is a chair for retirees. And it's kind of creative. It's pretty neat. Little bamboo thatch there. These kids, this one we'd already looked at, they have this writing pad and a pencil. And that's unusual. The school doesn't furnish supplies. Most of these kids do go to school, but they do have to pay a little tuition and furnish their supplies and their uniform. This is hope. This is a picture of that many of this congregation had helped Michael Omihai, that's Chris and Premi's son, to get started in mechanic work. He has the abilities. He keeps the van running most of the time when we're there. But he didn't have tools, didn't have a place to work. And so we put together about $3,000 from personal contributions. And got him a little shed here that wasn't here last year, a little concrete. And then he's got tools there. There's also a chest back there that many of them are locked up. And he is doing that now. He used to farm for his dad, but the field got filled with rocks when they had landslides from all the rain one year. This is hope that soon I will be able to pump enough water to throw in the little bowl they call a toilet to get it to flush. You'll notice there's a umbrella there that there's a reason for that, because sometimes it takes a lot of pumping to get much water. Hope summarized. Hope encourages us to continue the Christian walk through storms, through trials, temptations of life. Hope is built on God's promises. It's not men's promises that fade away or go away, but his promises to his children through Jesus Christ, his life and his testimony. Hope is an attitude, it is our countenance, it is our enthusiasm, our zeal, reflecting God's grace and power in our lives. Hope gives us strength to overcome our weaknesses and mature in love, faith, and character. If you feel you aren't growing, you aren't maturing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, then I would suggest to get back in the Word. And I think Brother Sam put it very succinctly in his meeting up in Durango, which is out on recording if you didn't hear him, that if you're not reading, you're not growing. And I think that is the truth. Hope is the foundation to control and manage our emotions. I'm sure you've run into it. I have. Many people have a lot of emotions flare up in their life. They're either a drama queen, a soap opera, they're angry, they have rages and fits. And God's word and his principles and his love helps us to rein those in and bring them under control. Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus came. Perhaps you are called as evangelists. I'm going to give you a little sales pitch here. Whether it's in a foreign land or locally, there are those who have talents that can walk up to a stranger and start a good conversation that works its way into a spiritual context. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This was given to his disciples, but I think it's given globally to us all. I don't care if you're male or female. Many opportunities with your neighbors, with your kids. If you're a sister in the congregation, you can have influence on a lot of people. Just baking a pie and taking it over to someone that's homebound or sick, that's a ministry, that's a service. And there's just much work that we all can do. Well, if you want to be active and go to a foreign land or even here locally, baptism happens in many forms. A lot of river baptisms, ocean baptisms. This fellow, it was a very heartbreaking story. They had had two babies, and both of them died in the first couple months. Very heartbreaking. They just had their third baby, and he has lived to be a couple years old. We tried to hold them And for some reason, I said, man, Nita, we ought to adopt this child. And I didn't know the history prior to that comment, or else I would have considered it wasn't appropriate. But that child just started bawling. I don't know if the word adopt set him off, or maybe it's just a stranger holding him. But here at his house, he's built a little cistern, and it just happens to be the right size that you can baptize people in it. And he does. We have a young fellow here that was just baptized. While we were there, I think we had about 8, 9, 10 baptisms, probably 10, 11, or 12 baptisms. And a little cold, it's in the evening, and they use whatever they can find. This is a swim pool that had some concrete sleds at a resort that we were able to pay them a little bit and get use of. We're going to talk a little bit, and our time is quickly coming to a close. Food for the body and the spirit. Proverbs 4 and 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Very typical of the some of the Psalms there, to get your attention. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Talking about the Proverbs, the words that Solomon's speaking. For they are the life to those who find them, and health to all flesh. You know, in the first couple Bibles of the latter part of the Pentateuch, the first five books, there's just many rules, regulations, giving pertinent to their hygiene and how to deal with the leprosy and dead bodies and et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, God wants us to be healthy. And a lot of that's up to us. Well, in response to that, we've had a lot of medical requests over the years, and it has been overwhelming, and we just cannot solve all those problems. We help when we can. Especially cancer, it got to a point we just had to tell them we can't pay for chemo, we can't pay for radiation, they're just out of our budget, and a lot of us believe that the results are kind of minimal. Well, this is three of the ladies here. It's Anita. The next lady is a wife, one of the evangelists, very active. And she has had breast cancer and is dealing with another unknown type of cyst there, and it has her worried. And then the sister next to her, she and her husband are very active in three or four congregations, and she has asthma, just almost debilitating. These two children, they have ringworm. They're kind of hard to see. They're up on the cheek there, and this one over here. And it just tears your heart. And these are folks that live in the mountains. Away, I mean, they don't even think about going to the hospital. Ringworm is quite contagious. So we prescribed something for them. They tried it. It's very inexpensive. And it cleared it up in 2 weeks. Well, here's your snake oil salesman. Many times after our teaching, preaching service, we dismiss, and we would have what we call our alternative health seminars. We took over Latrobe 17 for cancer, that's also known as apricot pits seeds, turmeric, chia seeds. We talked about the moringa. We took a bunch of seeds that Nita's brother down in Panama sent us. Turned out they have moringa trees growing all over the place. Some of them were unaware how nutritious the leaves and the seeds were. So we're seeking to bring up a level of knowledge here. Here I'm showing the use of colloidal silver water. We took four generators. These are brand new, new generation. They produce particles 175 thousandths of the original generators that had some danger in it and health problems. And they're excellent for styes. That's what they used on the ringworms. Many applications. When we get reports every month from the brothers that replace these four generators. They're using it for burns to the skin from scalding water. It's a sterilizing agent, and they've had excellent success with it. This is one of them that we're handing out on the island of Negros. If you remember, I asked for men's socks, mismatched or without the toes. We cut the toe out of it. We slip this over a Sprite glass bottle. It needs to be glass. to keep it dark, and that's what the colloidal silver water was distributed in. Colloidal was kind of a hard word for some of them, so they just call it silver water. And whenever we, after we gave our little seminar, we had women run into the houses, and they'd come back with any bottle they had, Coke bottle or whatever, and they wanted some of that because they have a lot of skins and scrapes, and it's excellent for topical use, but it has many other internal uses. Another ministry we tried and has been fairly successful is our seed ministry. We took about 15, 20 pounds of seeds to try to get them to grow more greens and put it with their rice to reduce the diabetic problem. And it's widespread over there. And therefore, need for constant insulin, and therefore more requests. So we took those over there. And of all the seeds, we took seven or eight different varieties. The number one hit was Texas okra. Their okra is about 2 inches long, and the whole plant only grows maybe 6 inches off the ground. And they have been planting this, and now they're neighbors of the church members. They want some seeds, and they're just thrilled. They love okra, but this gives them a much greater yield per plant than what they had. So that was, we took chia seeds, the plant, and that's an excellent climate. Turmeric, some of them were already raising it. They didn't know all the applications. Some of them are going to start raising it to sell in the market and earn some funds. There's only a couple places that they have widespread agricultural of the broccoli, the greens, the mustard, the whatever. This is a big strawberry field. It's at about 6,000 feet elevation. Since most of the Philippines are islands, most of them are down low, close to sea level. This is a mountain town, like a little bit like Santa Fe or Bisbee, Arizona, Durango. And they have a lot of success. This is the group here, and one of the brothers is holding up our prize of strawberries. You pick your own there, and or we did. Another thing they do there is to raise plants and sell it in the marketplace. This is visqueen plastic for the pots. You can barely see them. And they wrap wire, make a pot. It's very ingenious how they do that. This is one of the gardens we revisited. Not everyone has a garden because they don't have a space. They're in a family plot, and they just keep adding a little shack right next to the other shack on the property because that's the only place they have to live. But some of them have more land, or their family has land, and so they are doing gardens. We're very encouraged about that. We're going to talk very briefly. The time is up, so we'll just hit it in the highlights. Of using our gifts. And we're going to just talk about the sixth verse here. Paul writing to Timothy, reminding him of his heritage and how his mother and grandmother helped him with the scriptures and imprinting them in his heart. It says, therefore, in the sixth verse, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. And of course, Timothy and the early apostles had that extra measure of the Holy Spirit. But important, and we tell this to the Filipinos and many sermons we give, says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, of being afraid, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And they do have some mental issues on among some of the churches there. We've had requests to go see the psychiatrist and psychologist, and we just said, well, we need you to go over to that family member and get into scriptures and study the scriptures. We do not have funds to pay for those type of things. Brother Alvey covered this, and this is where I got some of the scriptures from 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, about giving, so we will spend a minimum of time. But basically, indeed, if we see a brother in need and we have bountifulness, we should be willing to share that, where it's locally or within the U.S. or perhaps beyond the borders. We're just going to hit a couple scriptures that come to mind here. It says in Matthew the 25 and 15, it says, to the one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, and each according to his ability. And immediately he went on the journey. We know the rest of the story. Some of them used their talents, their gifts judiciously, and it brought gain. And some, the one with one went and hid it. Well, we need to consider that we use our talents, our gifts, to the benefit of others, especially the cause of Christ. Acts 11 and 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability, and evidently the disciples had different gifts and different abilities, determined to send relief to the brother dwelling in Judea. There was a lot of sharing, a lot of giving, and things in common during the early church. 2 Corinthians 8 and 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability. The word ability comes up many times. In other words, God's not going to expect you to do something that you do not have the ability to do or the talents to do. But he has given you ability of certain talents, certain gifts, and that he does expect us to go and invest it and to multiply the word, encourage others, to help others. It says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they freely, willingly gave. 1 Peter 4 and 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may glorify Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And about the 15th and 16th hour of that long flight, I needed verses like this to say, hang in there, this plane will land soon. But there are many trials in life that we need scriptures that encourage us, that we know why we're making this ultimate long trip or perhaps sacrifice or extra effort. Because God has given us the ability, and we should be willing to fill that. This is a summary of the expenses. We won't spend long. Transportation is everything, from the fares, the diesel, the rental. The van broke down. We had to rent several vans. Lots of challenges this last trip. It was almost 4 weeks. I think it was challenging for us personally. We put too much in 4 weeks. Visiting 28 congregations. We won't do that again. Of the actual fare over there, Nita's was paid with reward points, so it's just mine and Edward. Those are only about $2,000. The rest of that is when you get all the brothers, they fill a van. If it's a 11-place van, they'll put 12 or 13 in a whole bunch of luggage and just keep piling it in. Very similar to Africa and the presentation Brother Keith gave up in Durango. So the personal transportation is very little, but all the gas, the diesel, the ferries, they have all kinds of little fees and taxes and all this and that. The toll is $8,000. Hotels, again, that wasn't just for Edward and I and Nita. When you go, you're going to have this entourage. But this is a very special time. It's a time of night studies, of singing, encouragement. And we found it really helps to strengthen the evangelists. There's about 20 evangelists over there on the six or seven islands we work with. Again, you're paying for these extra rooms. The food, again, for us and the evangelists, it was $1,400. But you'll be surprised. About half of that was for rice, by the way, I think. It seemed like it. We had common meals with the congregations. They were $1,700 and that was just a very special time, especially if it was a poor congregation. There was many of those. Medical for the brethren that we actually were able to hand out was $2,400. We had several surprise contributions come in right before we left that were sizable, so it made this possible where we could help a lot while we were there. Food in some of the poorer villages was $300. Bible song books was almost $1,000. The evangelistic needs, this was trips home and special trips they were making, plus some of them wanted a concordance. They wanted very basic things. That was about $970. Buildings and chairs and repairs and roofs and thatch and things that blow and fall down were $2,200. So it was about a $21,000 journey there. That one didn't happen. Again, this is another congregation. They had very little, almost a flat slab with a couple poles. This congregation is probably all interrelated. The grandpa here is in the very back, and most of these are his grandkids, grandkids, and great-grands. but it's a very lively church. You'll notice an absence of men. The men are working, and a lot of them couldn't get off and come while we were there, but you have to visit during the week, so some men are not able to be there. This congregation, you can see to the thatch that comes off from the 11th, that was the original building. We've been helping them to expand their building. They needed it. Brother Edward also holds singing schools while we're over there. Some of the real congregations, singing's a little bit rough. And so in the very back, there's a man standing, blue shirt in the center. His name is Joel, excellent hard worker. He's a construction worker. He's helped a lot with these buildings with free labor. And he wanted to lead a song more correctly, and Edward worked and worked with him. And so this trip, we came back, and he led a couple songs, and they were greatly improved. So that's wonderful. That is the end of the presentation. We're a little bit over time. I want you to know we do appreciate the contributions that Albuquerque has given us over the years, and we pray for wisdom constantly to use it appropriately and try to glorify God. The brothers are hard workers. They really try, but when they get a storm and it wipes out the crops or the drought this last year, we collected money from several congregations. Stringle gave us a lot for that help. There was about $4,500 that was sent for food here in the last 2-3 months because they couldn't produce food. Some of the wells went dry, but we appreciate it. God's invitation for those that would like to become part of his kingdom is always open. We haven't covered that this morning, that we hear the word, we believe it, increases our faith, it brings us to repentance. We confess the name of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, and we're baptized into the kingdom. Or if there's any that would like the prayers of the church. And Brother Ben, I meant to ask you before I started, if you'd get an invitation song. We were short of song leaders when we first got here. And so we'll say have an invitation song if there's any that would like to ask the prayers of the church.